ready for this? Powder folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Welcome in to another beautiful, wonderful episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host with the mostest, Chris Mitchum, still the proud manager of Team Fair Life, with one of my usual hosts, Aaron Hunt, the manager of the Sun God Squad.
How's it going, everybody? This is the first podcast with a brand new mic that the team bought. So let's go, baby. Hopefully I'm sounding good in those ears.
Nice and crispy for you. Like Aaron mentioned, I think this may be our first pod of the year virtual. So we invested a little more this year, hoping to give you guys a little better sounding quality of a podcast when we're virtual. No Tim this week. He's dealing with some home stuff. All good in the hood, don't you worry. But Tim, if you're listening, we miss you. Best of luck with everything going on there. As we bring you, this time, the for real episode 99 of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. So it's next week. I'm sorry if we got some folks excited for all the festivities that episode 100 will maybe bring. But
yeah, hey, Chris, I got excited. I'll take that on the chin. I put that in the dock. I let everybody astray. So episode 100 coming at you next time.
Next time, baby. So episode 99 today. It is the evening of Friday, October 24th. So we have already seen all the fallout from the Thursday night massacre that was the Los Angeles Chargers defeating the Minnesota Vikings.
Did you watch any of that game?
I watched a lot of it out of the corner of my eye, and it was just every play. Carson Wentz was getting violently thrown or violently taken down. Like, he was getting his butt kicked out there.
Yeah, I wasn't actually watching it live, but I had Sleeper up while I was doing other things, and just seemingly every time the Vikings had the ball, it was Carson Wentz sacked.
Yeah, just getting taken to pound town, and not the good kind. So, so that was that game. So we will be sure to take those into account when we take into the previews and things like that. I'm sure we may be having to have an Grahamston, Orion Grahamston. How do you say his name? The tight end? Or
Grahamston.
Grahamston. I don't know.
Oronde Gadsden.
There it is. Yeah, I'm sure he will be part of our conversations as well.
Which, fun fact, his dad was in the NFL for the Dolphins.
The more you know. This is why you listen. Drink of the week, Aaron. What we got?
Tonight, I am going a little bit more creative than just water.
Water.
I have a sparkling ice, the pineapple flavor. I'm a huge supporter of sparkling ice. I drink at least like one of these a day usually. So
nice. Getting your quota in late, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I hit 30 recently, so I got to just count my drinks more carefully.
Get my water in.
Get hydrated.
Yes. I'm actually today also going with the sparkling water. I didn't want a water, but I also didn't want a beer. So I found this random aha. Yeah, right. Cue the damn drop, Chris. Get it. Do it.
Aha.
There we go. That's my drink. I didn't even think about that.
Those things are good, man.
My diet, Dr. Kelp. It's a lime and watermelon. So
yeah.
Pretty nice. Never had one, and it tastes fine. Oh, yeah.
It's in a can. That's what matters.
I know. All right, Aaron. Week 7 is behind us. What do you say we get in and see the damage?
Yeah, let's do a few takeaways here.
Sorry, had to get. I'm not used to the, you know, things.
Yeah, it's right on the tip of the tongue. Yep.
All right, week 7 is behind us now, and actually, one thing we forgot to tell y'all. Actually, starting in week 6 was the beginning of the 2025 Chidoba. Oh my gosh. Chidoba Chipotle Classic. If you are new around here, the Chidoba Classic. Maybe we should call it that. I don't know.
The Chidoba Classic. I kind of like it.
The Chidoba Classic is a four-week competition between basically the Qdoba and the Chipotle division. Starting in week six and spanning until week 10, there will be basically a cross-divisional matchup from each member of each division. So we like to keep score of those and see who is the mightiest of the two divisions coming out of the Classic before we go back into some in-division battles. Aaron, do you recall how 2024 Qdoba Chipotle Classic ended?
I don't, Chris. How about you fill me in?
Chipotle dominated, beasted, like we always do, baby, finishing 13-7. Suck on those. So like I said, week six last week started the Qdoba Chipotle Classic, and week one ended up being 4-1 Chipotle, ladies and gentlemen. Chipotle out to an aggressive lead here. So with that in mind, let's dive into week seven, where we had some pretty interesting lineups, pretty interesting scores here. And we will start with maybe the surprise team of the year. Aaron, close your ears. It was Njigbas in Paris downing Aaron and the Sun God Squad 132-127. Maybe the best ending to a game we've had all year. It was just set up perfectly.
Man, I was distraught the morning after I found out that JSN just ever so slightly just took Don over the hump and got the win over me. I can't even tell you how mad I was the next morning. It was kind of embarrassing because this is fantasy football after all. But yeah, ask my wife. She was like, are you okay? And I'm like, no,
yeah,
I am not.
Because what? You had like a 2-point lead going into Monday Night Football, and you had Amon-Ra and he had JSN. And it really was like a battle of the elites of the teams, you know, like who's going to come out on top. And JSN got it done.
And what's wild, too, I watched the first half of that game and then ended up having to go to bed because the NFL, for some reason, has 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. Eastern start times for Monday Night Football.
For real.
Ridiculous. They hate the East Coasters. But I was watching the end of the half, and there was a specific play where they called, like, a roughing the passer or, like, you know, unnecessary roughness against the who are they even freaking playing? Houston,
yeah.
And it gave them an extra down. And the play after that, it was a touchdown at JSN. And I
turns
was like,
the TV
that
off.
That alone, I was like, I am now going to lose. And I texted Don promptly and was like, good game, my man. It's over. Tried the reverse psychology. Obviously, it didn't work.
Pulled out all the stops. It was not successful. So congratulations to Don. He moves to 4-3. Aaron falls to 2-5. I'm sure we'll diagnose that a little bit in the previews.
Yikes.
Elsewhere, Anthony continues rolling with a 138-118 point victory over Breece Lightning. That is now three straight wins for Team Uninspired Youth after starting 2-2. Steven and Mount Passmore moves to 4-3, taking down Clayton and the Red Rocket. The disappointing season continues. Steven comes out on top of that one, 125-99. It must be really nice playing somebody who only scores 99. Because in another game, I fall to the devil. I fall to Kyle Stretch, top scorer of the week, 156-138. Bo Nix did his best Josh Allen impression. I love you, buddy. But yeah. Couldn't keep up with Stretch's squad. He moves to 3-4. Team Fairlife falls to 2-5. And then in what was our game of the week, Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan slay another challenge, another beast downed in the wake of Tua Infinity and Bijan. He defeats Close But No Jamar 151-141. What a shootout that was. What a game that was. And whenever we look at these scores, Aaron, we'll start there. We'll start with Hayden, 151 points. I described this win as gritty. Man, Tim started with a 38-point performance from Jamar Chase on that Thursday Night Football game. We all talked about it. I think you guys went with Tim in the pick'ems. I stuck with Hayden. I did it. And he had to fight back. It was gritty, and he had to wait until Jahmyr Gibbs had a career night on Monday Night Football, putting up 36 points that eventually got him over the hump and downed Tim. I mean, whenever you're looking at a championship team, man, I feel like Hayden's teams would lose a lot of these games in previous years because he couldn't really get that 150, the 160 that he needs. But, I mean, he proved it in this game that he has kind of the horses at elite levels that can propel him over really good teams like Tim.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, if you look at his roster going into the Sunday night game even and then Monday night, I mean, he needed every bit of those points that he got from Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
And they just delivered. I mean, Bijan's been delivering all season. Jahmyr Gibbs to an extent as well, but you got that boom, you know, ceiling off the, you know, just incredible runs of Jahmyr Gibbs and getting that 37 point.
The core of this team, man, that had to feel good. Like the core, your guys bring you over in prime time. Like Hayden has to be feeling really good coming out of that week.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you're 7-0, virtually a lock to make the playoffs at this point. I don't know if mathematically he's a lock, but I mean, for all of the years that he's just been struggling, you got to feel good if you're Hayden.
Absolutely. And of course, we can't move on without mentioning, like I said earlier, what might be the surprise of the year. And Njigba's in Paris. We might be talking about Njigba's in
playoffs.
Njigba's in the playoffs, baby. Dawn at 4-3. Aaron, brace yourself. Look at me if you need help. Top of the Qdoba division, Njigba's in Paris. Winning the number two seed in the playoffs right now, if we were to end right now, is Dawn and Njigba's in Paris. How did we get here?
I mean, he is just hitting on some guys that are playing out of their minds. Mm-hmm. I mean,
hey, what happened?
George Pickens was set up for success the minute that CeeDee Lamb went down with the ankle injury and was just going nuclear. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, in my mind, is the elite wide receiver one in Dynasty right now.
Yeah, he's only 23, man.
I mean, so Ja'Marr Chase, of course, like when Joe Burrow is healthy, like, sure, you can make an argument. But, dude, Sam Darnold does not throw to anyone else.
I know. 14 targets, 13 targets. Like,
he is their passing offense.
Yeah,
he is the offense. So just having that firepower, just having that consistency, he went head-to-head with me with Amon-Ra St. Brown and beat me. And he even had Bryce Young go down with injury and still scored 132.
Yeah.
So you can't say enough good things about Don and just the comeback story, if you will, of having a winning record this far into the season. I'll say it now because I feel like it's a good time to talk about it. The parity is just insane, man.
Really,
I mean,
is.
There's not at all the, you know, oh, this team's only going to score 90 this year. I mean, you have to score 120 to have a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's been the story all year.
Absolutely. And I think the final takeaway we will do before we move on to the latest power rankings, he just lost. We talked about him on the other side of this matchup, but it's probably worth talking about Tim and close but no Jahmyr. He's been slipping down those power rankings as of recently, but we just knew he needed to take a second and get healthy again. You're on the losing side of this matchup. Granted, it's the best team in the league and you're still 4-3, but 141 points was the third highest point total on the week. Is Tim back? It's a simple question, Aaron. Is Tim back?
I think he might be, man. I mean, he struck gold with the Rondae Gadsden. He's been coming on lately. You get CeeDee Lamb back. You have Jordan Mason, which he didn't have such a great game on Thursday night last night, but he's been consistent in his lineup. Honestly, the person that's really holding him back from, I would say, being solidified as like a top two or three team is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at his totals this year, I mean, he's just kind of been a fringe RB1, solid RB2, and that's not the Saquon that you need to compete really to be in the upper echelon of the league. But I think all things considered, man, I mean, you know, you'd have to be happy if you're Tim putting up 141. I mean, you can't ask much from your team other than that.
Absolutely. I was listening to a very popular fantasy football show today. I mean, not as good as ours, but, you know, it's pretty popular.
Well, of course not. No, of course not.
And the question was posed to these experts. Rest of season, would you rather have Saquon Barkley or Cam Scataboo the rest of this year? Who do you have? Who do you choose?
Yeah, I actually went... I listened to said podcast, but
yeah.
We're not going to give them any more credit than they already get, right? So,
right.
I have an answer to this, but I'm curious what your answer is,
Chris. I asked you first, dude.
All right. I'm going to say Cam Scataboo. And the reason I'm going to say that
Wrong.
Is because one of the said analysts on that podcast, I agree with 100%. Scataboo's floor just seems much higher right now. Like, I think you can go into most matchups, even if it's not a great matchup for Scataboo, and you know he's going to get some passing work, you know he's going to be involved. I think he's had no less than, you know, 15 to 20 touches for the last month or so. I mean, he's so involved in that offense, and sometimes it just seems like Saquon's not as effective, and even last game, he only had one catch. So if you're a running back, you're not scoring. Saquon's also not scoring, getting the end zone. That's kind of where I land.
Yeah, I think I just lean more on the talent. Like, I'm not saying Cam Scataboo's not talented, but we've seen what Saquon can do. I understand he's even struggling to pop off the long runs, and I think that might be a combination of maybe him, but also the offensive line. But I just believe more in this Philadelphia machine. The offensive line, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, talent-wise, is still above Cam Scataboo, and all of the pieces are there. I guess I'm just relying on the fact that I think they'll figure it out. Last year, they started a little slow as well. But you saw them really take a leap on offense last game. Granted, Saquon wasn't the benefit to that, but they had to throw to keep up, right? So in most of these games, they're probably going to be leading. You're going to be running the ball. And I think you're going to lean on Saquon Barkley. And I just trust that the talent and the opportunity that's there, obviously you're in a better offense too. So I think he has higher touchdowns. It's like I just hoping that he regresses to the mean. And I think I would use history and rely on that he returns to being, you know, a locked-in top five guy.
And, you know, you look at the Eagles' schedule, they do have some softer matchups coming up towards the end of the season, and especially during the playoff stretch. Week 15, Las Vegas at home. Week 16 at Washington. Week 17 at Buffalo, which their run defense has really been nothing to ride home about.
But the over-under on that game is also going to be 53.5. So,
oh, yeah.
Have fun with that one. Goodness. So, all right. Well, that was our biggest Week 7 takeaways. I know Stretch is sitting there right now being like, what about my team? And you don't get praise, sir. You get no praise.
No. Sorry, Stretch.
We'll talk about you later. All right. It was a big week. Lots of moving parts. What do we say? We hear the latest and greatest power rankings.
Let's do it.
Power rankings.
As you can tell, we are a man short this week, but that did not stop us from getting three inputs into the power rankings because we used one of our power rankings on a website that we found. You could sync up your league and it will give you the rest of the season who they think is the best team. So not only do you get mine and Aaron's perfect divine takes, but we also used a computer. We used ChatGPT. We didn't use ChatGPT, but we had ChatGPT help rank it. So, Aaron, are you ready? It is week 8. I suck. Don's the best team in the league. What does that mean for the power rankings? Let's get into this. At number 10, it is still Zach. It is still Breece Lightning. And I think my point still stands that he's probably one of the best 10 seeds we've ever had. I mean, he's still putting up like 118 this week. 84 the week before. But hey, we all have down weeks. So I still think he's very capable. You know, you expect him to put up over 100 points a week. So
yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, Zach is respectable. 1-6, you think like, oh, this team's absolute garbage. I don't believe that. He's got a lot of good pieces, but unfortunately, you know, there's just some stacked rosters this year.
Yep. And now this. How did this happen? At number 9, we have Njigba's in Paris. Now, I'm looking at this. The computer put Njigba's in Paris in second to last. So I have him sixth. You have him eighth, Aaron. So maybe you're not totally on the bandwagon yet. So I guess that makes ninth a little more, expected to be there. But obviously, you know, he's on the come up. He's a very strong nine now. Maybe you could argue there's a tier there between him and Zach. I personally have him higher, but I understand why he's there.
Yeah, I'm slightly higher. I do think that he benefits earlier in the season and honestly just overall in the Qdoba division. If you look at the point totals of points four,
you're telling me, man.
I mean, they don't even really compare to the points four in the Chipotle division. I mean, Don has points four of 846. He's first in the division, and Walker Hardly Knower, Kyle Stretch, is fourth with almost 60 more points.
Yeah.
So actually more than 60 points higher in the points four. So,
yep. So let's go through this next tier here. At number eight, we have the Red Rocket down there at number eight. At number seven, it's your boy. It's Team Fairlife hanging down in the lower angles of the league, but it's fine. We will rise. At number six, it's the 4-3 Mount Passmore. He's been up and down season, but consistently decent, I would say. So that gets him at number six. At number five, it is the 2-5 Sun God Squad over the 4-3 Mount Passmore. Maybe we'll have to look into that one a little more. At number four, it's Walker Hardly Knower coming off of a highest score of the week performance. At number three, it's Team Uninspired Youth. I mean, I've told him this to his face over the past week, but he is just so annoyingly consistent, always putting up 130, 140, it seems like, minimum every week. You got to love the consistency of that squad. At number two, I guess us and the computer agree, Tim, close but no Jamar, at 3-4. I guess he's back. At 4-3. I guess he's back at number two. And at number one, it is undefeated. It is Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan. What sticks out to you there, Aaron?
Well, I mean, I would say that me being fifth, I'll share this with the broader audience, but the computer actually put me at second,
which is crazy.
Wild. Unbelievable. I wouldn't even put myself that high, to be honest with you. I had myself at sixth.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, fifth, it's just interesting to power rank all these teams this year because there's so many different storylines. I mean, you know, we talk about you, Chris, coming in at, what, seven in the power rankings? Woo-hoo. I had you higher than that. I had you, I think, at fifth. Because, I mean, your points four is impressive, and the points against are just absolutely insane if you want to have a second event on that.
Oh, no, it's fine. You know, I just look at the points against, and, you know, for whatever reason, mine has four numbers at the start and nobody else's does. I'm not really sure why, but maybe that's a typo. Surely I haven't been scored on more by almost more than 100 points than another person, but that's beside us. Anthony, if it helps you, me and Aaron both had you at number two. The computer had you at number six, so I think that's maybe drug you down a little bit. We all had Tim and Close Beno Jamar at three, so that probably raised you up to two a little bit. So that was your power rankings for this week. Again, going through them very quickly. At number 10, it is Breece Lightning. At number 9, Njigba's in Paris. Feed off this disrespect, Don. Feed off of it. At number 8, it is the Red Rocket. Number 7, Team Fairlife. Number 6, Mount Passmore. Number 5, the Sun God Squad. 4, Walker, a Hardly Knower. 3, Team Uninspired Youth. 2, Close but No Jamar. And 1, Tua Infinity and Bijan. We need to kick this computer out, man. It's messing us up all kinds of ways.
I agree, man. Get it out.
All right.
We need to have Tim next week.
No computers in the guarantee, though. You ready to get into there?
Oh, absolutely.
The This League Guarantee. Oh, yeah.
Aaron, I am one to take responsibility. When I say that, we need to be better. We need to do good on the guarantee. We are cold as cold gets. Right back.
We have to get right.
So last week, Aaron did Baker Mayfield plus 260 passing yards. I always hit the wrong one. There we go. That sucks. He only had 228, so you weren't that far off. Tim had the Patriots money line against the Titans that hit. Then I had George Kittle anytime touchdowns versus the Falcons.
Nasty.
That's really nasty. He had two targets and no catches. So
he wasn't even a part of the game plan.
That's what I'm saying, man. Which is a nice little goose egg for you. Steven loves to hear that. Got the win anyway. Shout out, Steven. This week, I mean, we're going to go with the trend. We're going to go with the vibes. If you remember this day last year, the day that the name is named for had a freaking day. On the tight ends, on National Tight End Day last year, they went ham. So we're joining the party. It's the National Tight End Day Guarantee, baby. And Aaron, I'll start with you. The first leg of the National Tight End Day Guarantee. There it is.
Yeah, so I'm very confident. I'm going to put two into one here.
Colts.
Help cover for the fact that Tim won't be contributing to it.
Nice.
So we got Tyler Warren, Indianapolis Colts tight end, going up against the Tennessee Titans, arguably the worst team in the league.
We are 14.5-point dogs or favorites. Sorry.
Yeah, you could probably get into that game at Lucas Oil for pennies on the dollar just because of how.
Go see the massacre.
How bloody this game will be. But I have Tyler Warren over 60 yards and anytime touchdown. So that's going to be plus 204. I think this is easy money. I feel like all of the Colts skill players on offense are just going to have one of their best games of the season because the Titans can't stop anybody, let alone the Colts with one of the best offenses in the league.
Are you sure Jonathan Taylor is not going to have 15 touchdowns?
I'm going to say he'll have 12 and then he'll leave three for the other people.
Okay. So he only have 12. Nice. Oh, you're right. Oh yeah. That could be bad. That could be bad. The Colts should win by a million. My leg, I'm kind of going back to the well from my reasoning last week, except I'm not going George Kittle. I am actually going with a Bills tight end. As it is right now, Dalton Kincaid, questionable to play. He's been limited all week, so he's a true game-time decision, so we'll see if that's the case. If he doesn't play, you can just insert Dawson Knox into this anytime touchdown catch against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers have given up the fifth most touchdowns to tight end and football. And really, I think over the past couple games, you've seen how important the tight end position is to this Bills offense. Dalton Kincaid goes out. All of a sudden, the Bills drop two straight, and their offense looks lethargic. I'm not saying it's all Dalton Kincaid and he's the linchpin or anything like that, but you're leading the team in targets when you're playing. I think he is kind of the focal point for Josh Allen right now. So you take out that piece, you know, your offense doesn't look as good. So with him expected to come back, or Dawson Knox fills in that position when it comes to the red zone targets, not so much the overall offense itself, but I do think he is a red zone threat in a game where you're probably going to be able to do whatever you want. So on National Tight End Day, I'm taking Dalton Kincaid if he starts. If not, Dawson Knox, anytime touchdown against the Panthers. How's that sound, Aaron?
You know what, man? I like it. I like it a lot. I think that you brought up some really good points there with how many touchdowns the tight ends the Panthers have given up. And I think the Bills, this is a get-right spot for them. I think James Cook's going to do well. I think Josh Allen's going to do well, which means, you know, spoiler alert, I think your team's going to do well this week.
Hey, yo, God, please, please. It's going to be ugly if they don't. All right, and that is your National Tight End Day guarantee. Again, one more time for the folks at home. Go ahead and put Tyler Warren over 60 yards and at any time touchdown in that parlay.
Go Colts.
And then go ahead and add, maybe wait until Sunday morning to bet this one, because we have Dalton Kincaid right now at any time touchdown against the Panthers. But if he's not in, go ahead and throw Dawson Knox in there for any time touchdown score. Plus 812 is your odds. $5 will win you $45. Go ahead and just slap your lunch money on it. All right. You'll win that back. Then you can have freaking like Chipotle and like the nice stuff for lunch next week. Because you have the guarantee.
Absolutely. Just slow and steady. Get yourself right. We'll build it up for an even bigger one next week.
That's right. And that is your guarantee. Go ahead and throw some money on it because we guarantee it. Let's get into the Week 8 preview. Nice. As a reminder, we are entering the third week of the Qdoba Chipotle Classic. And entering this week, Chipotle has a 6-4 lead on Qdoba. So, Aaron, we got to represent. We got to keep the lead up. We can't let these Qdoba inferior burrito people try to spoil our party and keep us from the three-peat on the Qdoba Chipotle Classic.
Yeah, man, we got to keep it up. Got to have some good momentum.
Three-peat.
Come on, Chipotle division.
And we get to welcome back two pretty heavy hitters in the fantasy football world, the Baltimore Ravens with hopefully a healthy Lamar Jackson and the Buffalo Bills. Welcome back, Team Fairlife, baby. But unfortunately, for Week 8, we have to say goodbye to everybody in Amamas. No Arizona Cardinals this week. Detroit Lions, Jaguars, Raiders, Rams, Seahawks. All take a break, take a breather. So that means we should be having some very interesting lineup decisions this week. Week 7, Aaron. Obviously, we hit the halfway point of the season last week. So now we can consider this kind of rounding turn 3. About to approach turn 4. The playoffs are soon around us. And like you said, I think with the parity of the league, it's tough to really consider anybody totally out of it or anybody the total favorite, unless maybe you are Hayden. Any overall thoughts on the week before we dive into these matchups?
Man, I thought last week was going to be the biggest week of the year for this league. I think I'm wrong. I mean, I think this week will really determine a lot going forward. You've got some teams that are staring down the barrel of being 500 on the year. And then if not, they're going to go to 2 games back of being 500. You know, you feel like those swings are really like make or breaks for playoff seeding and a lot of those implications. So I'm excited, man.
Yeah, man, and even the not even the standings, but just like the general vibes of teams, right? Like you're getting a lot of interesting matchups this week that I think will show a lot and just add kind of another week of information as to who these teams really are. So, Aaron, we talked about it before the show, but I think I agree with you. Our first matchup may just be, I mean, do I press the button? Do I press the button?
I think you do, man. I really do.
The first win or go home of the year, ladies and gentlemen. And it is Zach and his Brees Lightning that is facing I really should have said another word after I said that.
Facing the black. What?
The black hole? The black what? The black what?
Black matter? Like what?
I would say like the black precipice, the black coal, maybe. Of the winner go home siren. Nobody's ever come back from it. And now Zach is going to be the first one to face it as he comes into this one at 1-6, taking on an Aaron squad, number 2, according to the data centers out there, in this league at 2-5. As it is right now, Sleeper has this matchup with Aaron being a 56% chance of victory on the back of a solid 6-catch, 88-yard, and tutty performance from Ladd McConkey. You got to love that, Aaron.
That was a huge sigh of relief. I feel like I've been missing all over the place on my start-sit decisions all year, so it was nice to finally have something go my way, and it's just a good feeling to get off to a good start on Thursday night.
You got to believe it. On the buy side, Aaron is losing a champion. No Amon-Ra St. Brown this week as we're taking on Zach. So when you look at Aaron's side, it is Dak Prescott in that quarterback position. This doesn't matter who he plays anymore just because they're going to put up 40 points. So you start him, even against the Denver Broncos. I think he is a solid start moving forward. He's almost matchup proof, I would say. Jaylen Warren and Cam Scataboo in the running back positions. The last times Cam Scataboo played the Philadelphia Eagles, he was the RB4 on the week with 3 touchdowns.
It was glorious.
They also didn't have Jalen Carter, but hey, you know what? We'll fight on. We'll fight on. We already mentioned Ladd McConkey. How about Emeka Egbuka, baby? I thought when he got hurt, it was going to be like a multi-week thing. Hamstrings, you hate to see it. Now, all of a sudden, as of Friday, he's off the scouting report and ready to play for the Sun God squad. Wide receiver 7 on the year.
He is an absolute stud. I am blown away by the impact that he's had on my team. I kind of thought he would be a 2 to 3 year, you know, progression receiver, but he's just taken it and, I mean, he has just been unbelievable.
What's he doing with it? He's taking it and doing what?
he's taking it
and
owning it. Man, I'm struggling with words.
And owning it. Yeah.
I said black matter earlier. Hopefully that doesn't get me canceled.
I just said black, so yeah. All right. Also, interestingly, Aaron is entering to the territory of the double-decker tacker,
tight end stacker.
No A.J. Brown. He was ruled out earlier today, and we were deciding to maybe rage put Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt on the bench.
He burned me so bad
last week. Out of rage.
You played the Dallas Cowboys, and you got me less than 5 points. Yeah, you're not seeing my roster or my starting lineup.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
That is gross. So we're going with Harold Fannin and Kate Otten, the old reliables. That's like a White Castle sandwich, man. That's going to make your that's going to make your fart stink.
That and Harold icky. Fannin, by the way, that's TBD. If David Njoku ends up playing, he's been limited all week, then I'm going to take him out and probably put in
Bill.
Good Lord, Kyle Pitts. I am determined
anything
not
to remove to Bill. Remove Bill. Yeah,
Bill is being disciplined.
That's so funny. And then Roma Dunze closing out Aaron's side there. Like I said, you maybe have the Kroski-Merritt decision. I'm putting some eyeballs on Isaiah Pacheco this week. Obviously, Kareem Hunt not expected to play and potentially even miss some weeks. So if there is a chance for him in a game where they should be winning prime time, you know, maybe there's a chance he falls into the end zone a couple times, which could be, I think, a prescription for as the year as it goes by. So, Aaron, that's your side.
I'm a little worried about Breshard Smith, though. He had like 19 touches last week.
He does have some juice. Keep an eye on that. Go ahead and let's run through Zach's side quickly. Facing the black precipice of blackness.
Yeah, so on Zach's side, I mean, not a ton of roster decisions to make this week. Does hurt him that he has Marvin Harrison on bye, junior, that is. And really the rest of his bench, not really anybody you would consider. Travion Henderson, I mean, that has just been an absolute crushing development all year long.
I wish I could say he was just bad, but he's just not playing enough to know if he's bad or not. So it's like, I don't know. He's just not being used.
Yeah. So maybe he'll get some more utilization down the stretch. We'll see. But you got CJ Stroud going up against the 49ers. Weirdly, the Texans are 1.5-point favorites in that game, so very interesting there. But, you know, he's been playing a little better as of late. And then you've got Breece Hall, I mean, in a juicy matchup with Cincinnati. Anybody can run against them, it seems, these days. So even with the Jets struggling, you kind of like that matchup there. Javonte Williams probably will continue to do his thing, even against a tough Denver defense.
Revenge game.
Yep. And then Rashee Rice. Oh, man. Woo! I mean, I just imagine that Zach, once Rashee Rice came back into his lineup last week, he just, with open arms, just full bear hug.
It was crazy.
Just like,
yeah.
Thank goodness. Prodigal son, you came home. That is a big development there. Monday Night Football, I hate that because I'll probably have to wait until that game to figure out if I win or not. Tet McMillan, I want your opinion here. What are the vibes with Tet McMillan? Because going into the season, we kind of thought, okay, bona fide stud, going to be the wide receiver one in Carolina. That's kind of been hit or miss, and you even had Xavier Leggett step up.
I think he needs a quarterback. I think he shows that he can be the alpha. I mean, he's getting 10 targets, 8 targets, 8 targets, 8 targets. Like, I think he's the number one in that team. It's just he continues to get better. I think he's shown he has it. I think it's just a patience thing right now. I'm not worried too much.
Yeah, neither am I. I just hope he doesn't get it together this week, of course, since I'm playing against Zach. You like Wandale Robinson in the flex. I think that's going to be a good spot there, especially with PPR. I mean, he's been very solid the last couple of weeks. Keon Coleman, you don't love that. He's been very inconsistent, but we're on the Bills train this week, so anything can happen. And then actually, I think an X factor as well in this matchup is it's going to be on the defensive side. The Kansas City Chiefs against Marcus Mariota and the Washington Commanders. And I think they're like almost 14-point favorites. Yeah. So, yeah, pretty, nothing really else to say here. It's going to be a good matchup here. But, Chris, where do you think this lands as far as who wins and who doesn't?
I'm going with you, good sir. I do think the Rashee Rice thing has the potential to really be an annoying little thorn in your side. Because he's one of those players that even if you go into Monday Night Football up like 35, it's like, maybe. You know? So, but I just think once you get past Tet on Zach's roster, it's just, it's too... Emily, where you at when I need you?
Nasty.
It's too nasty on Zach's side with Mason Taylor, Wandale, and Keon Coleman. Your guys aren't like the most sexy either, but I just think your guys that you expect better out of should perform better. So I'm going with you here.
I'm going to pick me, but I think I'm going to have to sweat this out once again. And my wins are just not coming easy this year. So I anticipate this being probably one of the lower scoring games of the week and probably going to win this by 10 points or less.
All right. Well, there you have it. Our next game was where the quest for perfection continues. It is Steven in Mount Passmore coming into this one at 4-3, coming off a dub last week, taking on the undisputed, there we go, number one team in this league, Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan. We already mentioned it. Jonathan Taylor is going to get 12 touchdowns this week against the Tennessee Titans. So if you see that, Hayden, I know you're number one. You the man. That's got to make you a little nervous, as well as Chase Brown. You know, it seems like Joe Flacco is just kind of reviving this entire Cincinnati Bengals offense. And that means, I think, the same for Chase Brown. You know, he still has only scored one touchdown on the year. So you hope that improves, but I think there's a really good chance that it does with Joe Flacco leading the charge there. Jordan Addison already putting up a respectful 3-catch, 26-yard, 1-touchdown performance. DK Metcalf, I think Aaron Rodgers, if you want to use the revenge narrative, will be targeting him a lot as he plays his former squad in the Green Bay Packers. George Kittle, I think he's got to be in your lineup despite the goose egg last week. So he's in there for Steven. And then T. Higgins, who it seems like it's the first time he's been in Steven's roster for a while because of the disaster that's been going on in Cincinnati. But obviously last week finished as the wide receiver 13 with 21 fantasy points. He is happy to plug him back then there. And then Khalil Shakir in there for Steven to round out his flex spots. When it comes to buys, he's getting no Ashton Jeanty this week, but that's probably really the only notable one there. Don't really think there's any other lineup decisions as well. Steven, solid team. He's dangerous, I think, even for a Hayden squad this week.
He definitely is. And on Hayden's side, we've got your typical starts. We've got Pat Mahomes, Monday Night Football. He has been absolutely sensational, the QB1 on the year. I am kicking myself because I didn't even really go after this player, and now he is
a consistent
starter for Hayden, which Hayden just seems to find the diamonds in the rough for cheap. Kamani Vidal Sassoon, almost 20 points on Thursday Night Football last night. He's getting all of the work while Marion Hampton sits comfortably on my IR and probably will until, I think I heard, week 13.
Nice.
So that sucks. But great for Hayden. And then Bijan Robinson, he'll smash against Miami. That's going to be an insane game for him. I think there's an opening, though, for Steven, because we now know that Quentin Johnston,
oof,
an absolute dud.
Nasty.
No targets, no catches.
That's bad.
It's as if he didn't even exist.
Running sprints out there.
But that's what you're going to get with the Chargers. It's happened to a bunch of different receivers this year. And then you got your other normal starters there, Jalen Waddle. Ferguson will probably get 10 catches for 50 yards and be just fine.
Tight end one, Jake Ferguson.
Yeah, unreal. Derrick Henry probably will come back to life this week now that Lamar Jackson's projected to play.
Sure will.
The only question I have, because of course the Colts are going to smash against the Titans,
Colt,
Chris, Tez Johnson is the other flex spot. And I don't know about you, but I see at least three guys that I would maybe consider playing over him.
Are you talking about Zach Ertz, Debo Samuel, RJ Harvey?
Yeah, and maybe even Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, maybe. I could see why he's there. I mean, Mike Evans, once again out. Chris Godwin, probably not playing. So he's definitely has a role in that offense. At New Orleans, you don't hate that matchup either. But it's a questionable one. I probably would go a Debo sit. I don't know. That they could be really, really bad in that game. I could see them maybe trying to manufacture touches for him behind the line of scrimmage. But
it's a tough decision.
Yeah.
Definitely not obvious. But I was like, you know, interesting. Like Debo Samuel, if he's healthy, I don't know.
Who do you got here, Aaron? Who do you got?
Man, I think I'm going to go Steven.
I'm going to go Hayden. I don't want to. You're going Steven.
I think that zero with Quentin Johnston might do him in.
I mean,
I really do.
It could. And if Jonathan Taylor, like, I'm not even kidding. If he puts up 30 this week, like he did last week, like he did in week three when he played this same Titans team. Oh, yeah.
And hey, the Jets are without Sauce Gardner. So, like, who's going to guard Jamar Chase? And then, you know, they're not going to be as good on the other corner, whoever that is, against T. Higgins. And he's came to life with Joe Flacco. So.
That's true. I mean, Steven is, he's poised. We're well poised to try to take down the king here. So that's a fun one. Split pick him there. Aaron going Steven, me going Hayden. That'll be a fun one to keep an eye on. Let's get on to our next matchup here. It is Stretch and Walker. I hardly know. We're coming into this one at 3-4, coming off a highest points four on the week last week, taking on Mr. Consistency, Anthony, and Team Uninspired Youth. Coming into this one at 5-2. Sleeper currently giving Anthony a 68% chance of victory off of a 22-point Thursday night total, 7 catches, 74 yards from Justin Jefferson, and 8 points from Keenan Allen there. When it comes to buys, Anthony's Thanos ring glove of the Arizona Cardinals backfield gets a week off. And that's really it. So, Anthony being able to have most of the selections at his disposal, including Lamar Jackson. I just realized on the notes I'm supposed to be covering Stretch. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Including the return of Lamar Jackson, baby. All signs pointing, it will look like he will suit up. And I think the Ravens are about to start steamrolling people, man. I really do. And starting with the Bears this week, like I think I saw their spread is like -6.5, I think.
Yeah, almost 7.
I may take that. Like, I think they're just going to come out with a vengeance off this bye. And they need to. They need to turn their season around. Christian McCaffrey, Rashad White in those Anthony starting lineups. While Bucky's out, Rashad White has been pretty dang good. RB7, RB10, RB26 last week in a tough matchup. So he is an auto start right now. We already mentioned Justin Jefferson, Zay Flowers, Lamar Jackson coming back. You expect Zay Flowers to be more like that wide receiver one performance he put on in week one. Travis Kelce, all reliable, tight end 5, just kind of puttering along down there. It's like he's the fourth wheel of the four horsemen. That's just, you know, always running a little flyer than the others. We already mentioned Keenan Allen, and then Stephon Diggs rounds out the lineup, trying to take advantage of that Drake May mania, I will call it. If you look at his bench, we got Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard both on the bench, interestingly. Just don't even want to touch that backfield right now, and I kind of understand why. And then Ramondre Stevenson, somehow still the RB1 for the Patriots, down there as well, facing Cleveland, not getting the nod now, but obviously things may change.
They may change indeed. And on Stretch's end, the bye week hit hard for Stretch. He has got a lot of players out. He's got a couple players that are hurt and a whole lot of really not many other options.
His team is dead.
His team is on life support this week. How do I know that? Well, you're starting Samaje Perine.
Woo, baby.
Exclusively a third down back.
Nasty.
You're starting Elik Iomanner.
Not a horrible start. I'll give him that. Horrible. Not a horrible start.
I actually do like Iomanner's outlook long term, but Cameron Ward, he has been kind of cheeks.
Yeah, he has been.
So I don't see him turning it around against the Colts, especially on the road.
And then
you have Darnell Mooney, who's been hurt a lot of the season and is, what, the third option? Fourth? Depending on the week?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to consider Bijan number two, yeah.
Yeah, so don't really love all of those. You do have your staples, though. You got some guys that you like. Tyler Warren, of course, I think he's going to smash. He's a big part of our tight end guarantee this week. Devonta Smith is all alone this week without A.J. Brown. In the games when A.J. Brown is not played, Devonta Smith is the main guy. He typically feasts, so watch out for that. Josh Jacobs is probably going to do his thing. And then Drake May, that's kind of a wild card for stretch because the Cleveland defense is actually respectable. So we'll see what they do at home. But all things considered, Chris, I'm going to go ahead and call my shot here on who I think is going to win this. I like Anthony here. I think he's just going to overwhelm stretch with all of the guys that he has already deployed and ready to go. And then he additionally gets back Lamar Jackson this week, and that'll revive Save Flowers. So I think that Anthony's going to win fairly easily this week.
The Devonta Smith news with A.J. Brown being out, I think, is something that needed to break Stretch's way in order for this to be remotely competitive. But I still think Anthony is going to make a statement this week, man. He's getting a lot of his horses back, particularly Lamar Jackson, and like you said, well putly, a revived Zay Flowers. So I'm going Anthony as well, man. I think that's 2-0 for us. He moves to 6-2 and just continues to be annoyingly consistent, man.
Every year.
I know. All right, let's move on to the next matchup. One more after this. It is your boy, Team Fairlife, Chris, coming into this one at 2-5. Tim, I just want to congratulate you right now, man. You're going to get the highest point scorer on the week. I have played the highest point scorer on the week three straight times. We're just going to make it four. Tim, congratulations. You're going to have a great week. That's who I'm playing. He's coming into this one at 4-3 as it is right now. Sleeper giving your boy a 55% chance of victory. And Tim got to see the dread of starting Jordan Mason on Thursday Night Football, getting him 1.6 points, but also got the joy of starting Aronde Gadsden against me, getting 5 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown, putting up a very nice 18 points for Tim's roster. Aaron, let's go ahead and go through this. Let's get the misery out of the way.
Yeah, man, let's break it down. And, you know, before I dive into it super specifically, Chris, I want to just go back in time a little bit. It's 2 months previous. It's late August, and you're just sitting there. Yes. You might have had a beer in your hand. It's still warm outside. You're just chilling, looking at your roster. Was there any world where 2 months later you think you're 2-5?
No, because Alvin Kamara is a top 10 guy. Travis Hunter is a top 15 guy. DJ Moore still leading the offense. You know, I'm just, all these beautiful things are happening. Malik Nabers is the wide receiver one in football. Now here we go. None of that has happened.
And then fantasy football just slaps you in the face. I understand.
Do I press
the
button, Aaron? Be honest. Do I press the button?
I was thinking. I was thinking about it. I don't think so yet.
Okay.
If you lose again, the next week after that will definitely be win or go home.
All right.
But your hand is hovering over the button at this point. With that being said, though, man, are we glad to have the Buffalo Bills back, aren't we, Chris?
Boy, are we.
We got Josh Allen, the Stallion, going up against Carolina. You got James Cook coming back. A solid matchup to hopefully get right in this game for you. Devon Achane has actually been a beacon of light for your team all year long, been very consistent. And even with all the turmoil that's going on at quarterback and just the upheaval of leadership, all that good stuff, he's been performing well.
I love you, Devon. I love you.
Michael Pittman has been a revelation for you this year. So you got to love him against Tennessee.
Probably my call of the year. I'm not going to lie.
No, yeah, you were right on it. You were like, hey, stay in the flames with Michael Pittman. He's good. He's going to do well, and he sure is doing well. Alvin Kamara, man, we need more from him. You got to have more from him week to week. I think this could be a matchup that they do need to pepper him with some targets. Let's get some more PPR volume for Alvin Kamara this week. You got a few lineup potential decisions here, depending on injuries. You got DeAndre Swift that's questionable. He's trending towards playing, so I think you're going to be safe there. And if he plays, you, of course, stay with him because he's been doing well and the Ravens' defense has been sucking. Mm. And then you have Dalton Kincaid, which we've already kind of covered that already. He might be, you know, a game-time decision, so you might have to pivot away from him. And where you go as far as on your bench there, you already played Hockenson, so not exactly sure what you
do. Dawson Knox.
Yeah, so you might just have to go pick up Dawson Knox off the waivers. I'm not even sure. Is he on the waivers right now?
He is. I checked.
Okay. All right. So that would be your pivot there. And then really the only other thing where it's like you don't love it is DJ Moore. He's just kind of been phased out of Ben Johnson's offense for whatever reason in Chicago. They pay him a lot of money to run routes. Not sure what the deal is there, but, you know, maybe he strikes
maybe
against the Ravens. I mean, everybody seems to have success through the air against them, but bye weeks also, you know, hit you kind of hard with some key guys that are not in your lineup. So all that being said, Chris, you want me to answer first on who I think is going to win?
Well, let me run through Tim here real quick. And really just a lot of the same guys for Tim. I'm really nervous about Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley this week. The Eagles are that kind of team, I feel like, with a head coach that is like low-key kind of petty. And what I mean by that is they got whooped by the Giants last time, and they're seeing Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo get all of this national attention, and that was their come-out game, and they embarrassed him. I could see the Eagles just flattening the Giants this week, man. I just feel like they're that kind of team. Jalen Hurts is that kind of guy. Their head coach's name that's slipping my mind right now is that kind of guy. So I just think there's Nick a good Sirianni. Chance. Yeah, there's a good chance they just pummel them. Jordan Mason, I did kind of luck out there. But, of course, he's got his two-headed beast back, man. Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, both in the lineups. Both terrifying. CeeDee Lamb does get the Pat Surtain treatment, so that makes me feel a little better. But still, you see those two guys healthy with decent quarterbacks. That puts some fear into you. Woody Marks gets the start in the flex spot right now, and the other wide receiver spot goes to the Booty Man.
Booty, 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 booty.
God, we want him to be good so bad so we can keep that drop forever. Kayshon Booty. We mentioned him last week. He's back in the lineup after a two-catch, two-target, 55-yard, one-touchdown performance last week. So you keep riding it while it's good. While you look at the bench, not a ton of options you would think. Maybe you slide in Juwan Jennings at Houston for the Niners. Again, still missing some weapons out there, so I think he could be a valuable start. But other than that, I don't think you're really touching anybody else there. You mentioned him earlier, Aaron, but keep your eyes on Breshard Smith. This could be somewhat of a breakout game for him sitting down there on Tim's bench. I am going with me, Aaron. Backs are against the wall. I'm probably not favored regardless of what Sleeper says, but I got to be due for a win, man. I got to be due for maybe Tim puts up a stinker or something. I'm praying to the gods that luck will turn with me and we keep fighting. For that reason only, I'm going with me.
Chris, I am also going to ride with you this week.
Oh, wow. I was like, just take me out back, man. Just put me down.
I think you get a win, you still stay alive in the playoff hunt, and it's going to be on the backs of the Buffalo Bills. I truly believe that Josh Allen is due for a vintage, like, put the team on the back Josh Allen performance. And I could see them being done in this game in the fourth quarter, and he already has 35 for you.
Let's hope so, man. Let's hope so. I could argue I'm probably in need of a win more than anybody in the league. So let's hope we get that done. One last game to cover, which makes that our game of the week. Now, you're probably thinking, Chris, the game of the week involves a team that's 3-4 and a team that's 4-3. But I said this as we came into the week preview. Not only is this week big for the records, but I just think it's big for the vibe of certain teams. And these are two teams that are almost on the opposite spectrums of where everybody thought they would be. Clayton came into the year number one in the power rankings. Now we're here at 3-4. And I'm sure when Clayton was looking at his calendar and he saw week 8 that he was playing Dawn, it would maybe be a bye week. It was something that we could dominate and make sure we get a win. But now all of a sudden, here we are. Clayton is now playing the top of the Qdoba division, Dawn. And team Dawn Perignon coming into this one at 4-3. The winner of this game is going to be thrilled. The loser of this game is going to be heartbroken. As it is right now, Sleeper giving Dawn a 76% chance of victory. Granted, woo, Clayton does not have a defense in, or excuse me, a second flex in. And if we go through his lineup, we might be able to see why. But yeah. Sleeper likes this matchup. I think Sleeper is giving Dawn maybe even more respect than we are. But, you know, he's got to go through a decent Red Rocket team, Aaron.
That he does, man. And Clayton, you know, he's got some stalwarts, man. He's got Quinshon Judkins. He's been solid all year. I think you'll just continue to see solid production this week. Nothing changing there. Baker Mayfield, he just keeps getting it done. Didn't have as impressive of a week last week against the Lions, but I think he bounces back in a big way against New Orleans. Tyler Allgeier, you don't love that, but
yeah, don't love that.
You're kind of forced to play him. Romeo Doubs, he's probably going to be a floor play for him, get maybe 10 points. That's kind of what he's been doing the last few weeks. Drake London, absolutely love him. I think he's due for a big game. As long as he gets some good quarterback play.
Snip, snap, snip, snap. That's Drake London.
Yep. And then Chigakonkwo, I really don't love that one. Enough said there. Titans suck. And then Darius Slayton, that could be interesting because he's been hurt. Jackson Dart coming into his own. Maybe he becomes more of a piece of this offense now that he's fully healthy. So up and down the lineup, you know, I like some pieces. I don't like some pieces. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, notable for Clayton. Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, both on bye. Nico Collins ruled out today. Brian Thomas on bye as well. Like, Clayton is having to get into the depths. And then what we've been saying about Clayton's team all year. Don't look at the bench. Don't look at the bench. So when you have all of those starters either injured or on bye, it may get a little ugly. But let's go on to Don's team. And Jigba's in Paris. 4-3, two straight victories for Dawn and Jigba's in Paris. And of course, it all on the back of his fearless leader, Aaron Rodgers.
Revenge game.
At the top, granted, QB15, not horrible. But, you know, Cam Ward, like you said, been kind of cheeks, so you can't really rely on him right now. Tony Pollard and J.K. Dobbins, the most boring running back duo in the league, but they get the job done. Typically, nothing crazy, but they also don't bust usually. Terry McLaurin going right back into the lineup. He was announced that he's going to play Monday night for the Commanders in Arrowhead against Kansas City. And then George Pickens rounding out that wide receiver group. Tucker Kraft at the tight end position. You do love to see that. He picked up right where he left off last week, finishing as the tight end 8. And then Chris Olave and Xavier Worthy rounding out those flex decisions. You look at the rest of his lineup, he could go, you know, Alec Pierce is something that could be intriguing. I know he's a popular start for a lot of folks around the league, although Josh Downs did get upgraded to a fully limited practice today. So he should be good to go for Sunday. With all of that being said, I mean, I just said my reasoning why I'm not picking Clayton is his starters are out, and that means he has to pivot to depth. That looks like Tyler Allgeier, Romeo Doubs, Darius Slayton, and maybe Ray Davis or Luther Burden.
Or Jalen Noel. Probably Luther Burden or Jalen Noel, if I had to guess.
Yeah, so for that reason, I think Don continues marching, man. I think he moves to 5-3. That's my pick.
I'm going to pick Don as well. I think he gets the win, even with JSN on bye, which is crazy because, I mean, I just don't think his team's really going to lose a beat. I think Terry McLaurin could have a decent game. Xavier Worthy, yeah, he's been wishy-washy, but, you know, volatile enough. He may catch a touchdown, and Olave's been turning it on in recent weeks. So I like Njigba's in Paris to win this. Aaron Rodgers may tear up the Packers this week.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Man, imagine Don getting a win the week JSN is on bye. Oh, my gosh. Don's getting so tired of winning, man. Getting tired of winning.
He'd be 5-3, still atop the division, especially if Stretch loses.
And don't look now. He might be cheeks, but Brandon Ayuk might return to practice next week. I'm just saying.
I even forgot he had him.
Yeah, returning to practice. Wow. So we'll see. Don't look now. And Jigba's in Paris. Could be coming for you. And that is your week 8 preview. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know your thoughts. What surprises you? Where are we wrong? Where are we right? Let us know all the good stuff as we sign out of here. As always, on your listening platform you have, if you could give us a good rating, man, we would appreciate that. Leave a little comment, share us with your friends, and as always, crush the like button. Smash it. Crush it. I forgot I don't have Tim this week. Yeah, light it up. I'm on fire. Smash it.
Or as always, guys, just a simple click and get you where you need to go.
You could just click it as well. That is your show for this week. Again, thank you for listening. I will be putting outro music right here that we will decide on after I get off the pod. Does that sound good, Aaron?
Absolutely, man.
All right. It's going to be a banger. I can feel it. But I'm Chris. Peacing out. Love you guys.
All right. Go on and get.
Yeah. Trendsetter. Whoa. League of my own. It don't get better. No. Read what I wrote. I'm a bestseller. Yeah. Reach for my goals. Hit it dead center. Hit it dead center. Bullseye hit it the most, it's no misses. Something like fish in a barrel, it's no different. Blindfold on me, I still got the most vision. Trent said it, told them before, but they don't listen. Better, bring a better bat because I'm bigger, better. Solo single, selling several shows at every single second. Peter Piper picked a pack of pickle peppers. Kinda came and crushed the competition. Hope they get the message. Look, living it fast, spinning my M in the bag. I never go slow.